With over 500 high-performance products in the EvoStick range, you may need a bigger van. EvoStick, the strongest adhesives you can buy.
Hello and welcome, dear listener, to this week's EvoStick Extra. My name is Ben Hughes, and coming up in this week's show, we'll be previewing this weekend's league matches. In the Premier Division, we'll be discussing the form of Barwell, we'll be discussing Survivor with Stamford, and we'll be discussing Nantwich and the FA Trophy. All of that and a little bit more on this week's EvoStick Extra. So welcome everybody to this week's show. Coming up very shortly, we'll be speaking to Stamford on the potential for another great escape, as well as previewing this weekend's big match between Nantwich and Dover Athletic in the FA Trophy. But before all of that, we're going to look at the league and a side who are literally, well, setting fire to the form guide at the moment. It's Barwell, and for more on this, we're joined by the manager. It's the welcome return of Jimmy Ginnelly. Hello, Jimmy, how are you?
Hiya, Ben. How are you doing, mate?
I'm not too bad. So, since the Rushden game, Barwell, they've just been phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal. What's it all been down to?
I think what we needed was an almighty kick up the backside. And I've been in the game a very long time, Ben. And to go to somewhere like Salford, that everybody's looking forward to this great day out, and come back with a 7-0 thumping up your own backside, you think, well, here we go. I went and sat on the bus on my own. I didn't go in the club. Obviously, people saying come in and Scholes is in there and everything. It meant absolutely nothing to me because I was so embarrassed that I'd been beat 7-0. And from that point, I've trained to change a lot of things around at the club. And here we are, 9 games later.
Absolutely. And 9 games later and within 2 points of the playoff positions. And for a while now, for at least a couple of weeks, you've always played 2 games more than your competitors around you in the playoffs. But that gap is narrowing. And at this time, you're currently 3 points behind that team, Salford City. It's quite an achievement for the club.
Yeah, it's a fantastic achievement. To be in and around Salford, Workington, Blythe Spartans, Darlington, for Barwell Football Club, Ben, it's unreal, really. And we're chuffed to bits with what we're achieving at the moment.
And I was going back to the MPL season preview, and last season, Barwell were a very, very strong side, very, very, very difficult to predict what was going to happen. You're always 7th or 8th in the league. And is it that much of a surprise that you've been able to build on that this season?
On a personal note for myself, I've been in the game a long time, and a little chart would say improvements every year.
Yes.
I have that in the back of my own head that I must improve on what I did this year, last year, the year before. And I'm on par to do that. So we've already achieved it, really, because we've again got to the local cup final at
yes.
Leicester City Ground. We got to the first round proper, the FA Cup, to give all the older people at the club a good old buzz around the place to get over 1,000 down at Barwell's.
Finished 7th instead of 8th, and I'd be really proud of myself if I just improved and got up above 8th. We finished 8th last year, and if I can improve on that, and you know how tough the league is this year, if I can finish 7th, I'd be over the moon.
And this weekend, Barwell, I've got... we speak about Barwell being tough, a tough team to play against. Frickley this season are also proving to be a bag of tricks as well. What's your take on going into this game this weekend against Frickley?
I've been watching videos all week, and they're improving. They're a very, very strong outfit with great movement up front. So we know we're in for an almighty tough game, but the great thing about the Northern Premier League is it's our classic, like the Championship of the big football world. It's the hardest league I've known for a long time, and you know Frickley will be no different to sort of like playing Colwyn Bay last week. I mean, Colwyn Bay, we won 4-0 away, but for 25 minutes we didn't touch the ball, and you're standing there looking, thinking everybody's capable. So it's just another one of those who's got the grit between the teeth to try and pinch the points tomorrow. Because I did stop the training Tuesday night and told the lads to have a look at the phone at 10 o'clock when we'd finished. I fancy Frickley to get something at Blythe tonight. I don't know why, but I just do fancy it. And when we finished training, found out that they'd won 3-2. So they're obviously flying themselves. It's it's ready for a great game of football, I think.
Absolutely. And your take on the next couple of months, I mean, I did apologise to you off air for inviting you on and probably jinxing it for you, but what's your take on where Bowell can go this season?
I just think the size of the club we are, for us to be finishing in the top half of the league, is what we all want. We all set our goals at the start of the season, and you know it was to not get relegated, because we're all common sensed at Barwell. We know how tough it is, and every week that we're in the top half, we're chuffed to bits. And for Barwell Football Club, for the you know the restraints and everything we've got down at the club, the facilities to be competing in and around him. Even talking about the playoffs is, on a personal note, I think it's a bridge too far for us, because I think the big guns, the top seven or eight, will come to the fore at the end. But we're just going to try and gatecrash it and just keep going and enjoying every game as it comes.
Well, Jimmy, I love a good gatecrashing, as many listeners will know. So wish you all the best of luck for the remainder of the season. It's already been a fantastic season, as you alluded to earlier. And good luck this weekend, and good luck with the rest of the season.
Cheers, Ben. Thanks for having us on, mate.
That's Jimmy Ginnelly there, manager at Barwell. Thanks for joining us this week on Evo Stick Extra.
Top man, mate.
My wife has decided to ring me. That's why I was stuttering at the end there. That's she knows I do interviews in the day. Never mind. Anyway, thanks, Jimmy. All good right, luck mate. This weekend. I'll see you soon.
Cheers, pal.
Take care. So very shortly, we'll be having a review for last weekend's fixtures in the league, and we'll be previewing this weekend's fixtures as well with Johnny Crowther from Redshift Radio. But before all of that, one more interview to do with a manager, and it's a club that, well, is the Great Escape on once again. And joining me now to discuss this from Stamford, it's the manager, it's Graham Drury. Hello, Graham, how are you?
Hello, buddy, how are you?
I'm not too bad. Now, I'm gonna be open and transparent. Off air, I apologise for getting you on and jinxing it for you now that you're starting to turn the corner. So I understand if you want to put the phone down now, Graham.
No, we'll carry on taking every game as it comes.
Absolutely. So you've been in charge now. I think this is your third stint at Stamford. Is that correct?
It's the third stint here. You know, they've got the new setup, so that was obviously the reasons why I come back into football again. You know, it's a great stadium, and it's a club I've known well. I'd promoted and left in a second in the league the second time I left them, but it's people I've worked with in the past who I trust, and they're ambitious, so it's matched my aims as well.
So you came back in November. How could I put this? It's been a very difficult season for Stamford, but it's been a very difficult couple of seasons for Stamford, and the stadium development's been brilliant, and it's a cracking stadium. But what's been the major challenges for Stamford these past couple of seasons for you?
Well, I think you've hit the nail on the head. You know, it's not been a problem just this season. It's been for 18 months. You know, there's been a losing mentality in the camp for so long. I come into the club and I had a group of players there, and you could see the fitness levels was low, the mentality was down. You know, they felt that as soon as you went out onto a training ground and in little proxy five-a-side games, you could see the winning mentality was not within the group. So I've had to change that, and that's been the biggest thing. I worked on fitness early doors, and it was like doing a pre-season, you know, in December, really, because we had quite a few games called off at the beginning of the tender. So it was like having to do a pre-season in December, and we had to work really hard on fitness levels first. Then we obviously had to work with the mental strength of the group, and hopefully, you know, we've got a good group in there now that believe they can do this. I certainly believe we can. The board certainly believe they can. Some people say it'd be a miracle to do it, but we've had enough games. I don't think it's no miracle. There's enough games. There's been enough points since I've been in charge. And we've just got to take, you know, the old cliche, every game as it comes, and hopefully put in performances that can gain us the right to win the game.
Now, at the moment, Stamford have played a couple of games more than everyone else, but certainly down the bottom end of the table, it's not necessarily how many games people have got, it's how many points are on the board. So it's important to win matches. But one question which pops into my mind is the home form. at Stamford. It's now become notorious since the move to the new stadium. Is there anything particular behind it, do you feel?
Well, again, I think it was mentality. You know, the players was going out onto the pitch and, you know, they was believing they couldn't win games there. I think since I've gone, we've had three or four wins on at home.
Yeah.
But they'd not won in it. I think they'd won one game in 18 months. So, again, it was just about changing that mentality of, you know, there's a goal at either end. There's a green field out there. Let's go and produce our goods. And, you know, we've told them time and time again, you know, it's all mental. You know, if you produce the goods on the pitch and play to your strengths, put maximum efforts in, you know, the minimum required any game of football is maximum effort. And, you know, that's what I've got into their minds. And we're working really, really hard as a group, on and off the pitch. You know, the board have been fantastic, like I say, and the helpers, the volunteers around the place have been great. And we've had to change the whole club's mentality of home form, you know, winning matches again, believing that you can go out there and win it. And, you know, we had a great result against Frickley. I think they've lost 1-8, and that was to ourselves. You know, they went and beat Blythe. You know, we went up to Workington. I thought we put in a great show up there. We lost 2-0. The hitters at good times, which good sides do. But, you know, we more than matched and created as many opportunities, and then obviously beat Ilkeston 3-0 on Monday. So, you know, I don't believe in the home and away form. It don't matter where we get our points at the moment. You know, we'd love to win at home, obviously, and, you know, starting that tomorrow. But I think it's more important that we get just win whichever games they are coming available and get enough points on the board to stay up.
I was going to ask you about the Ilkeston match next. That was a really impressive display. And I know Ilkeston had a few departures the week before, but they beat Salford at the weekend, so there's still no mugs.
No, I mean, they're full-time outfit. And we'd travelled all the way to Workington, which was a 4-hour journey going up there. And then it was another 4-hour coming back, and the pitch was like a bog. You know, I thought we was going to tire, so we had to start well in that game. And you know, I believe if we score first, we'll win a game of football. We look that side that once we score, we don't look like we want to lose. So it's really important that we went out there and got a foothold in the game early doors, which we did. You know, and being 3-0 up was fantastic. So, you know, second half, we could actually have them respites, what we definitely needed, with a full-time outfit playing against us. So all credit to the players, you know. Everything we've done is all credit to the players. They've got to believe in what you're saying. They've got to believe in they can win games. They've got to believe that they can still do this challenge, what's in front of us. And, you know, the credit's got to go to the changing room because, you know, they could have easily just sunk at this, but they haven't. They're paddling away, mate, and they're trying to stay up.
Absolutely. And tomorrow on Saturday, it's you're hosting Matlock Town. Any injury concerns going into this one, or you've got full strength?
Yeah, we've got Tom McGowan missing, a lad in midfield. He's got a hamstring problem. We've got Tom Batchelor back from his hamstring. He's fit and available. We're trying to sign a player today. We're just waiting for some paperwork to go through from a League Two club. So we're hoping to have a player in. And, you know, we're as strong as what we need to be. There'll be no excuses come, you know, quarter five, 5 o'clock. You know, it's about the 11 that's out there on the pitch and the backup with the five of the lads on the bench. Hopefully, you know, the 11 on there can go and do the job to the point where we need to, you know, maybe use a sub to win it and change the game. So it's a group thing. There's, you know, we're a big family unit, and you know, they're all in it together, and that's the mentality that hopefully we've brought to the club.
Well, it's thanks to Stamford and clubs like Marine and Colwyn Bay and Micklehove and Whitby and Grantham and Hyde. It's certainly shaping up to be a very exciting battle down there for the closing couple of months. And just to throw this one out there before you go, Graham, I think the last game of the season, I don't know if you're aware of this, but it's Micklehove.
Yeah, it is.
That's certainly something to aim for. Just to give a gift to the journalists who cover the league for the last game of the season, that'd be really nice, I think.
Well, the thing is, if you said to me right now, would you take needing to win on the last game of the season to stay in the Unibond, Northern Premier side, would I take it right now? The answer is yes, I would. You know, because we'd give ourselves the fighting chance of staying up. Now, would I like to have done it before that? Of course. But, you know, if it comes to the last game of the season and we've got an opportunity, I'm sure the players will go out there and produce the goods.
Well, Graham Drury, manager at Stamford, thank you very much for taking the time out to come on the show, and we wish you all the best of luck in the remaining couple of months of the season.
Thank you very much, and I'll be coming knocking on your door if we lose tomorrow.
Oh, no, don't, Graham, don't. Thanks, mate. Have a good weekend.
Thanks, mate. Cheers, pal.
So it's now time, just when you thought, dear listener at home, that La Liga was getting a bit predictable and you knew where you were with everything, bang, the league decides, no, we're going to do things slightly differently. And to join me now to discuss just how different certain results are, we're now joined by the welcome return from the MPL Facebook group of James Hayes. Hello, James. How are you?
Evening, Ben. How are you doing tonight?
It was a pretty standard, I'm going to suggest, a pretty standard set of results from Saturday, but there's some extraordinary midweek results, which we'll come to in a second. Where should we start? Let's start with the league leaders then. Blyth Spartans on Saturday travelled to Rushall Olympic and got a very, very good 1-0 win away from home. But then, midweek, well, what happened midweek, James, with old Blyth Spartans?
It didn't go to plan, did it? They got beat 3-2. They were 3-0 down at half-time as well, I believe. Obviously, still getting over the recovery of a 9 o'clock kickoff I went to on the Monday night. But again, a situation there, points dropped, I feel, and it's just really let Darlington get back into the swing of things. It's impossible to predict how this league title goes. I thought, again, I know I said it last season and I said it a couple of weeks ago as well, that the titles could have been wrapped up. But once again, I've been proven wrong, and teams just want to increasingly make my life difficult as a pundit to predict these results. So,
well, if you can predict anything about Frickley this season, I don't think anyone would like to play Frickley at the moment. They're now 9 points on the playoffs. It was only 10 points last week. It's 9 points now. And just to show you how erratic Frickley are, last weekend, Frickley Athletic, they've had a very good week. They beat Skelmersdale United by 3-0. I can't wait for the MPL show next week, where I am going to ask the question, are Frickley the dark horses? Are they going to do it? Don't answer now, James. Save it for next week. So where that result, those two results leave Blyth Spartans. Blyth Spartans are kind of in control. It's difficult to assess with how many games in hand Darlington have got. But Blyth Spartans on 72 points, that's 8 points clear of Workington. It's 10 points clear of Darlington, but Darlington do have 4 games in hand. Let's deal with Darlington now then. Darlington at the weekend travelled to Sutton Coldfield Town, the scene of many an upset this season, but Darlington passed the test, beating Sutton Coldfield Town by 1-0. Midweek, Darlington though, they hosted Ashton United, and, well, Ashton United got an equaliser on the 90th minute in front of 961 supporters, making it 1-1 there. So if you've got an away trip to Sutton Coldfield and you've got Ashton United travelling to your place in a week, would you take 4 points, or is it disappointing not to have had 6?
Great 4 points, I reckon. Ashton United, again, unpredictable both times of the season. I mean, Ashton have run Darlington close in both the games they played against them now. A couple of games moving forward. But Sutton Coldfield, we know pitch that they play on, it's unpredictable what can happen there. Currently, Darlington are the second best team on form as for the last couple of weeks, and the home record is impeccable. You can't blame them. 8 clean sheets a season. And even though the ball is back in Darlington's court at this moment in time, it's still very, very close to call. But it could be a lot closer than people think. And I don't think Berkey's prediction will be happening anytime soon, any way.
Well, Workington are currently in second position, and they've only had one game this week. So now they have a game in hand over Blyth, which, as we said earlier, Blyth dropped 3 points this week. So currently, Workington are now 8 points behind Blyth Spartans with a game in hand. They hosted Stamford on Saturday and beat them by 2-0.
Yeah, it's going to be, obviously their rest is going to get this weekend and might work to their advantage a little bit, so we can see what the position is going up towards the playoffs. I said it last week, it's going to be a really tough for them to really fight for the league, and I think results this week have proven that. So moving forward, I think not to consolidate a playoff spot now, because they're still going to be having tough matches. Can they get the home advantage? Because again, second, we've seen it last year, what home advantage can do for you, especially with Curzon Ashton, who won the playoffs. Having the fans on your side, again, no one would want to go to Workington at the end of the season, they're not looking at the fans there. And Workington have an old school conference side, Conference North side. So when they get the opportunity to go back there, they, you know, they will take it. So it's going to be more on the likes of Darlington, Salford and Blyth to try and knock them out of that block.
You mentioned Salford there. Salford have had an up and down week. It started with a down, getting beat by Ilkeston by 2-1 at Ilkeston's place. Now, the thing with Ilkeston was, going into this, that all the talk, as we said last week on the Evo Stick Extra, was about all the player departures and just the kind of Ilkeston are settled this year. They're never going to move off 42 points. But they beat Salford, and all credit to them. Salford, in the week, though, they bounced back and beat Marine by 2-0 at the Arriva there. So a bit of a mixed bag for Salford this week. Burkey's prediction of winning the league by 10 points is increasingly looking unlikely. Yes.
Yeah, and that's not going to happen at all. I mean, I think people saw the frustration of with Bernard's tweets on Saturday, if you are on saw that Twitter thing. The home form's starting to dip again, and that's where it cost him at the start of the season, and it almost cost him last season at this moment in time as well. TV cameras, they're used to it now, so there's no excuse. I know they've just had the next season commissioned, and I apologise.
Series, don't call it a season. Come on, don't be that guy. Carry on.
Yeah, just looking at the games you've got to just play, obviously they've got a difficult trip this weekend up to Sutton Coldfield, and again, they'll be taking the downs and resulting to mine there. It's that running that's going to be the key thing, because they've got a lot of the bottom half teams at the end, so I don't want to underwrite them yet, but it's looking more and more likely that they are going to be back in the playoffs again this year. They've still got to go up to Workington yet as well. It's still to be arranged at this moment in time. So that's going to be a key game when it comes to it. I think you're going to be looking at a midweek on a Tuesday for that.
Now, talking about solidifying in the playoffs, Stourbridge this week, they've made a move. They've been on the borderline of the playoffs now all season. Obviously, they've had great FA Cup and FA Trophy exploits as well, but they're gone now. They're consigned to the history books, as great as they were. It's now about the playoff push. And Stourbridge, well, they're now fifth in the league, 1 point behind Salford, with a game in hand. That's how well Stourbridge have played this week. On Saturday, they beat Michelover Sports by 2-1. And then midweek, well, this one seemed a right local humdinger. Sutton Coldfield Town 2, Stourbridge 3. So a good week for Stourbridge, though.
Yeah, 2 wins actually getting back up there. I think Kyle Hawley as well, one of the names that keeps getting mentioned in the supporters players vault at this moment in time, starting to find his form. Obviously, he's had the cup, the runs in the cup, but he's up there for the Golden Boot. But then the pressure's there from against Barwell. I want to say Salford as well, but I don't think that's as a...
And Salford, surely now, what Swampy said, where he said last month, and just to warn dear listeners at home, he's going to be on something next week on the MPL show about this prediction. He said he's got a sneaky feeling Salford might slip out of the playoffs, and it could happen.
It could, but it's going to be relying on a lot of pressure with other teams.
It's going to be reliant on Stourbridge, but it's also going to be reliant on Barwell. Now, obviously, Barwell, the thing about Barwell is they've played a few games more than everyone else. They've only had one game this week, travelling to Colwyn Bay, and we said that's going to be a tough game. In fact, I think Matt Carruthers actually said it might be a draw last week, but Barwell travelled to Colwyn Bay and beat them 4-0, so they're clearly up for this.
That's absolutely, I would have never predicted that. I would have said straight away Barwell would have won that one, so...
In that fight, in the fifth spot, is Nantwich Town. Nantwich Town have dropped back a bit. That's because they had a game postponed as well last week while Barwell and Stourbridge won. But they did have a midweek game. It was a tough trip to Causeway Lane. And Matlock Town won. Nantwich Town won. So not really the result Nantwich Town would have wanted. But I've got a sneaky feeling, and we're speaking to Johnny Crowther shortly for a fixture preview, but I've got a funny feeling that they've got Wembleyitis.
Yeah, looking at the recent league form as well, one win in out of six says quite a lot there. Naturally, a lot of them would have been looking at the December fixtures rather than in January or February, obviously with trophy runs and postponements. As an attacking team as well, you can't fault them for what they've done this year. 70 goals in 30 games. That's to take some effort. I know we said at the start of the season they were absolutely hammering in and they fell away a little bit, but that's still some going.
Absolutely. So let's flip the table on its head. Well, if the top was filled with a couple of surprises, then the bottom half too has been filled with a couple of surprises this past week. Let's just mention the team at the bottom of the table at the moment. That's Ramsbottom United. It's now 11 points to safety, and the game on the weekend was postponed. They did play midweek, and well, Skelmersdale United came travelling, who in themselves. Last month, perhaps, could have been touted as maybe they'll drop into the relegation battle. A hat-trick from Chris Almond has basically put that one to bed, I think. 3-0 away win there for Skelmersdale United. And that result lifts them 11 points from the relegation zone with games in hand over some teams around them. I think that's nearly done now for Skem. Maybe just a couple of results left to secure it.
Yeah, midweek results going away as well during the week has helped with that situation. I think if we can get, I reckon, two more wins, they should be fine. Skelmersdale there, and looking at who they've got left, it is more than possible to do that and still even put pressure on the top half of the league as well.
No chance. I'm not letting you get away with that.
not like that, but again, obviously they've got to play a couple of teams up there. So
right.
it sounds like they're doing the reverse, and if that makes sense, where they start well and just fall away at the end. Obviously, they're not going to win the league and they're not going to reach the playoffs. We're buying some miraculous recovery, even
James,
though we've got to still play some of the bottom six.
James, it makes perfect sense because that's exactly what I said was happening to them in December's show. If we rewind it, I said they're doing it back to front this year. So that's Skem and Ramsbottom United results. Just to say as well, I'm leaving the shock result to last, you say. I'm just gonna leave it out there. Second from bottom, Colwyn Bay. We mentioned their result at the weekend against Barwell. That then leaves Stamford, currently third from bottom, and now 2 points from fifth from bottom, Michelover Sports. And they've done that. Obviously, they got beat by Workington, but on Monday night they travelled to Wilkeston. And, well, they won by 3-0. Where did that come from?
A lot of people were seeing that on Monday night as well, as I was at Hyde United's game waiting for a kick-off. I don't think anyone saw that coming. Again, Ilkeston had released a handful of players just before that game as well. But even then, from what people have been saying about Stamford, their own fans even, I think that's a massive result for them. I'm putting a lot of pressure on the Marine, Whitby and Michelover to perform now. Because at Stamford, everyone thought they were a limp horse and they were potentially following Ramsbottom and Colwyn Bay, potentially down the bottom of the table. But they've managed to get that fight back into them. And you never know. Last year, it went to the last day of the season with them having to go to Witton Albion, their last game of the season. It's at home to Michelover Sports.
Well, the great escape might be on. And the thing with that Ilkeston result is as well, all three goals came in 34 minutes, in the first 34 minutes, and then they kept a clean sheet as well. And you know, you can congratulate the strikers, but also it's a proper team effort. Hyde United, now, obviously, Berkey said on last month's NPL show that he's got a bit of a worry about Hyde United. And throughout this month, it's looked likely that they were slipping down towards the bottom end of the table. And now, on Monday night, Hyde United 2, Whitby Town 1, in form Whitby Town as well. That's an epic result, that, for Hyde United. And I think we'll allay some fears that they had. That result now lifts them 7 points from the relegation zone.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what Berkey's talking about because he's not even going to his own games at this moment in time.
Don't grass him up!
He knows it. I took his spot on 26-0 this weekend because of that. But I was at that game, and it was a long, long wait for it because obviously with all the incidents, we had a nice traditional 9 o'clock kickoff, and the second half proved it for Whitby that the 6 hours it took him to travel got the better of him. Whitby started looked a lot stronger to begin with and could have dominated the entire game, but you saw that fatigue coming in during the second half. And as soon as Hyde got the second, heads looked like they dropped, and it was just like, let's get out of here. As soon as the final whistle went, even players jumped straight back onto the coach. And well done for those who got back at 4 o'clock in the morning, and rumours are, including Mr. Paul Connolly of Whitby Town Radio and Mr. Andrew Snaith. So looking at Hyde, they've still got that. I can see where
Luke and Berkey are talking about at this moment in time.
We mentioned then, obviously, that result, but Whitby Town on Saturday getting beat by fellow, hovering above the relegation zone, Grantham Town by 1-0. Suddenly the pressure's back on again, and this is the downside of leaving a run too late. It's a fragile run, basically, because then your confidence could take a knock very easily.
The only thing that Whitby have got over Micklover is the form is a lot better. Whitby aren't conceding as much. If they are, it's more on like 2-1 defeats, 3-2 defeats, rather than 4-0s, 5-0s.
We'll be covering relegation and promotion on next week's NPL show for February, which will be out next Friday. Just a mention for the mid-table cup. Buxton have had two very interesting games this week in the mid-table battle. They drew 1-1 with Hales Owen Town, and then midweek Rush Olympic beat them by 2-1. Two goals there from Alex Reid. So one of those weeks for Buxton, really. One of those seasons for Buxton, really. And there's not much more can be said. Joyce, he'll be coming up very shortly, I think, with his email of the week, just to let us all know. So I don't think you could top that email, to be fair, James. So happy with that?
I can.
Good. So James Hayes from the NPL Facebook group. Just before we go, the supporters' player of the season is now in full swing and all that. What needs to happen? What do you need to inform people with regard to this?
It closes. It will close on Monday night at 11:59 PM.
Oh my god! Everyone, get voting. Right, keep going. Yeah. Sorry.
There's a lot of votes coming from the South Division as well, in particularly for two players, which is amazing to see, because it's not this Division One South isn't normally a league that not going to say does well, but doesn't get a lot of recognition. So this could be a really close competition between it. If anything, Division One North fans listening, get your votes in. No one's voting for that league at this moment in time. It's going to be embarrassing. And only. Even I put a vote in for a Rackley's Borough play. That's how bad it's getting. But yeah,
James, you've got some Monday James, night, James, ways of, James, could one vote swing it for that Rackley Borough player?
Mate, you never know. That is good. Very, very potential.
Well done. Well played.
Obviously, we've still got the shortlisting to do anyway. So yeah, three ways to number vote before the deadline. On the Facebook page at the very top, just click on the link and read the rules. Via the Twitter page using the hashtag MPLSP16. Again, the top of the page has got the information. Or via the email npl16@hotmail.co.uk. Obviously, just check the rules on the league website as well. Just the league website's got all the information about how to vote. But yeah, as soon as the nominations are closed, we'll be doing the shortlisting, and we'll announce it on Friday the 18th of March, or the week of it, for who made the final five.
Basically, listener at home, if you're new to this, perhaps you're a Hyde fan and you're new to the league and everything, this journey is only just beginning. There's a lot to this award, this Supporters Player of the Year award that meets the eye. There's going to be all kinds of terms and conditions and voting and shortlisting and controversy
as
well.
It's only three stages.
Three stages, exactly. There. He said it for me. Three stages for a Supporters Player of the Year award. So brace yourselves, dear listener at home. So James Hayes from the NPL Facebook group, also sponsored by Evo Stick. How can people get in touch and complain and have a bit of banter with you on the old Facebook?
Facebook.com/groups/the NPL or on Twitter at the NPL group.
James Hayes from the NPL Facebook group. We'll be hearing from you next week on the NPL show, but you have a lovely week. So, for a preview now for this weekend's fixtures in the league, well, we've gone to a special place. We said earlier that a club has one eye on Wembley, and I think this person might have one eye on Wembley as well. It's Johnny Crowther from Redshift Radio. Hello, Johnny, how are you?
Yeah, I'm good, Ben. Yourself, mate?
I'm not too bad. So, we'll come to the league fixtures in a second or two, but really, the big game this weekend is that Nantwich Town against Dover. This one's huge. You can see it from space, I'd imagine.
Yeah, absolutely. The town is buzzing, Ben. Absolutely buzzing. Nantwich Town, as you say, the lowest ranked team still in the competition. The only Evo Stick Northern Premier League team in the competition. Currently seventh in the league. Going to be taking on Dover Athletic, who are two divisions above them in the Vanarama National League. So it's going to be a really tough ask, but you know what? Nantwich are playing some great football this season. I know I'm a little bit biased, Ben, as I commentate for them on a weekly basis, but they've scored 97 goals in all competitions. They're seventh in the league. They're doing very well in a strong league. But it's going to be tough, isn't it, against Dover? It's going to be really, really tough. Dover beat Guiseley in the last round 3-0 away. But Nantwich took the scalps. Just going through some of the scalps that they've taken, Ben, Stockport County, Salford City, Kingsley Town, Stourbridge, in the last minute, Steve Jones headed there, put them through. So, you know, they've got nothing to fear. They're going to be at home. They're going to have a big crowd behind them, hopefully, and it's going to be a cracking game. Really, really looking forward to it.
My logic in my simple journalistic world is that if you beat Stourbridge and Stourbridge beat Dover, then surely you Nantwich can beat Dover. That's how I see it in my head.
Well, you know, I respect you and I do like your logic. I think your logic's excellent. You're absolutely right. Absolutely right. I mean, beating Stourbridge is no mean feat.
Absolutely
great
not.
Team, great setup. It was a really tough game. And again, we beat him in the last minute of the game with a Steve Jones header. There wasn't much between the sides. I thought Nantwich on the night were much the better side. And Stourbridge, fantastic club. And they were so gracious in defeat as well, Ben. They really were. And they were wishing us all the best. Against Dover, and as you say, they beat them. So yeah, Nantwich can do it, absolutely can do it, but let's beware. Dover, they're playing teams like Tranmere and Wrexham and Macclesfield Town on a regular basis. They've got Ricky Miller, who's their top scorer with 14. It's going to be an absolute cracker of a game. And just one point I'd like to add, Ben, as well. Mick Cunningham, one of the guys down in down associated with the club, I think he's a local businessman, He's subsidised the travel, so fans can travel all the way up to Nantwich for a tenner on the coach.
Oh, brilliant.
I think that's fantastic, and I thought it was well worth a mention on the radio today.
No, that's brilliant. So just to touch on a bit of the league as well, on Tuesday night there was that 1-0 draw against Matlock, and this is a one-off game this weekend. It's going to be very, very different. But what's the mood in the camp like going into this match on Saturday?
I think the mood's still, you know, what I would say, and I've said all along this season, is what Phil Parkinson and his management team and the directors of the club are building is a young, hungry side that really want to go places in football, in the league, in the cups. And I think they're absolutely going to be massively up for this game. Get a big crowd behind them and watch Nantwich go. You know, you've seen Nantwich play some great, attractive football. There's lots of excitement in the town. You know, and if they can pull off, and it would be a shock, of course it would be. There's two, as I said, two divisions between these clubs. But Nantwich Town fear no one at home. They feel no one at home at all, Ben. And I think they can do it. I know I'm biased, but I really believe they can do it.
Well, I think you could do it as well. Like I said, on behalf of all the listeners going into this one on Saturday, I know you post on Facebook, hope everyone's behind us. I think everyone is behind Nantwich from a Northern Premier League perspective. And we hope you do well this Saturday in the FA Trophy so we can have that semi-final FA Trophy special of Evo Stick Extra in a couple of weeks' time. That'll be good, wouldn't it?
Absolutely. Just one point on that, Ben, if I may.
Yeah, sure.
Just all the clubs, all the non-league, all the not Evil Stick Northern Premier League clubs, the amount of support, again, that the club's getting from them. I talk about it being a family. It is a family. At the end of the day, we all compete against each other, tough games week in, week out. But when you see a club like Nantwich, you know, playing above themselves, really, to reach the quarterfinals of the FA Trophy, it's fantastic that all the clubs are getting behind us and wishing us well on Saturday. And it really is massively appreciated by everyone associated with Nantwich Town Football Club.
It's a beautiful thing, it really is. And like I said, good luck on Saturday in the FA Trophy. And you can, of course, listen to that on Redshift Radio, and we'll be having a little plug for that at the end, because you're not finished yet, Johnny. You can't go anywhere, because we've got the fixture preview for this weekend as well in the league. And you said you're not just excited about the FA Trophy, you're excited about the league fixtures this weekend. And why wouldn't you be? There's some mouth-watering fixtures to come this weekend. I'm going to suggest game of the day in the league with Nantwich might have an eye on this one as well. Stourbridge against Darlington. It's fifth against third. It's there's 3 points separating the sides at the minute. This one is huge, isn't it? And very significant.
Well, I've got about three stars around it, putting game of the day. I agree. Although saying that, there's a lot of other good games as well, but this one does stand out. How do you call this one? I mean, Darlington in a great run of form. I'll start with Stalbridge. Again, I've just mentioned I've got a lot of time for this club. I think it's run well. They're having a fantastic season. I wish them all the very best. And in Carl Hawley, they've got the league's top scorer. He's scored 21 goals now, Ben, this season, which is phenomenal. And Stalbridge, they won on Tuesday night. I think they won away, didn't they?
Yeah, Sutton.
Sutton Coldfield.
Yeah.
Sutton Coldfield. And Carl Hawley bagged two in that game. Christopher Late as well. He's a winger. Really rating. Seen him on a couple of occasions. He scored as well. That's a great win. When you've got a local derby, we all know what local derby's about. Thunder, blood and thunder. And to come away with a 3-2 victory, I think, is fantastic. It's a credit to Gary Hackett and his management team and the players for bouncing back after the FA Trophy defeat. But you expect nothing less from Stalbridge. So they're fifth. And Darlington, you know, again, we talk about strikers. You know, they've got Liam Hardy there and they've got Lee Gaskell. I think came from Ramsbottom, if I'm right. And, you know, and they're going to put, I think they're going to push Blyth all the way, Darlington. They've only played 29 games. They've got 62 points. They're in a rich vein of form. I think they drew with Ashton on Tuesday night. You could call that drop 2 points, but I wouldn't, because I think Ashton are a cracking side. I wouldn't want to call this one. It's an absolute tough one, and I'm going to say a draw.
I think both. Well, I don't know whether a draw would suit either team, really. I think they'd be. This is the beauty of this stage of the season. I think both teams really want the win, and that leads to very exciting games or very nervous games. We'll wait and see for that one. Next team I'm going to focus on is, I don't know whether you've got 3 stars around this one or not, is Barwell against Frickley Athletic. Now, the reason why I'm focusing on this at the moment is because the playoff picture for that, I'm going to say, and I don't know about whether you agree with me or not, that I'm going to now throw in Salford City as maybe they're in a battle here to get into the playoffs. And Barwell are pushing it all the way. And this weekend they're playing Frickley Athletic, who have been really, really good. Well, they've been good throughout the season, but in particular recent games.
I completely agree with you. I think we're going to Salford in a bit more detail, but I think very briefly on Salford, I think they're up and down at the moment.
Yeah.
And they're lacking that bit of consistency. I think that's the point you're making. Barwell, what a run they're having at the moment. They're sixth at the moment, just outside the playoffs. They're in a rich vein of form. But they're taking on Frickley Athletic, who are 10th. Frickley Athletic were 3-0 up at Blythe Spartans. He won 3-2 on Tuesday night. What a win that was. Absolutely flying, and I think that is an absolute belter of a game. Again, how do you call these games? I just find them really difficult to call. Quickly, don't rule them out. They're on 50 points at the moment, but they're right in there. They're in the mix. And Barwell, they'd be brilliant. Hey, absolutely brilliant.
You know what, Johnny? I keep saying to Berkey and to Swampy and to James Hayes, keep your eye on Frickley. So we mentioned Salford City. Salford City, this weekend, they've got the return match against Ilkeston. And, well, I don't know about this one. Ilkeston, they surprised everyone, I think, last weekend when they beat Salford City. But can they do it again?
Yeah, well, they can do it again. I mean, in answer to your question, what a result that was. You had nearly 1,000 fans through the gate for that game as well. You did a piece on this last week, the amount of changes at Ilkeston.
Yeah.
They're playing with young lads, they're playing with the youth team, and they've gone and turned Salford off. Was it 2-1? I think it's 2-1 maybe, wasn't 2-1, it?
2-1, yes.
2-1. I mean, what a result that is for Ilkeston. They're up into 12th. That won't be easy for Salford. That will not be easy for Salford. But I'll tell you what, you know one thing for sure, Johnson and Morley, the management team there, are going to be right into those boys and saying, look, guys, yeah, you did well. You beat Marine on Tuesday night. But Ilkeston, they're not going to come and walk over. You're going to have to be up for it. Every one of those players at Salford, has really, they've got a bit of pressure on them at the moment because they're not performing week in, week out. They're a bit inconsistent. They've got some great individual players. And absolutely, I enjoy watching Salford, but, you know, it's my home city as well, so I've always got a bit of a soft spot for it. But they need to get onto a consistent run, because if not, you're quite right, they could find themselves outside the playoff spots.
And no one wants that to happen because that would mean Swampy was right, and no one wants to see that. Just to go higher up the table, Blyth Spartans this weekend, they're hosting Colwyn Bay, and I'm going to suggest with this one, Colwyn Bay, the 4-0 defeat against Barwell, 2-0 against Stourbridge. They've not really capitalised on beating Stamford, and there's easier places to go to try and get 3 points and get themselves back into the relegation fight, good and proper.
Yeah, well, absolutely. No disrespect to Colwyn Bay, but if I was doing the Coupon at the weekend, this would be a home banker. Blyth Spartans, top of the table. You know, they're 8 points clear. Got some great individual players. You know, Colwyn Bay, nice club, and again, nice people there. You know, 24 points. I just don't see them getting anything there on Saturday, I'm afraid, Ben.
And that means that they're then reliant on other teams around them, Stamford, Marine and Mickleover and Whitby, dropping points. Also, it's looking a bit iffy at the moment for Ramme. They've got Workington coming to visit. Workington aren't out of the title picture either. They're currently, I think it's how many points? 8 points behind the league leaders, Blyth Spartans, but they do have a game in hand, so I'm not completely out of it, Workington. You mentioned it was a home banker for Blyth against Colwyn Bay. Is this an away banker against Ramme for Workington?
Yeah, I think it is. And I don't like saying that because, again, we know what Ramsbottom have been through this season, and what a club to get back from all the floods and all the support they've had there. What a great club Ramsbottom is. But the problem is, you know, at the end of the day, look at the league table. They've only won twice at home all season. And when you're going against the Workington team, 64 points, second in the league, Connor Tinney, they've got some quality players there, fabulous run of form. I think that's an away win for me.
Now, let's talk about the last couple of sides who are in the playoff hunt at the moment. Obviously, Nantwich Town are not in action in league action this weekend for obvious reasons. Currently, they're on 52 points, having played 32 games, which puts them 7 points from the playoff positions at the moment. Ashton United are also 7 points from the playoffs, but they have a number of games in hand. This weekend, though, they've got a bit of a tough game. It's the Tameside Derby, and we've had some correspondence in Ashton United versus Hyde United. From an Ashton perspective, David Hills-Taylor, Ashton v Hyde will be a humdinger. Throw the form book away and get ready for a good old-fashioned blood and thunder local derby. As I am an Ashton fan, I'm delighted with how we've wrestled back a vital point at Darlington, and hopefully we can get back with a win on Saturday to get back into the playoff mix. And John Boo, from a Hyde perspective, hope to see the Tigers carry on where they left off on Monday against Whitby and get something from this game. Hope the confidence from the second half on Monday will help us get through. Lots of young players in our squad at the moment, but they're all learning fast and won't be long before Scott Spencer returns, light at the end of the tunnel. Rush Olympic, they're travelling to Whitby Town this weekend. I think now, reckon Rush All are slightly out of it. They've played a few games more than everyone else. They're 8 points from the playoffs. Whitby Town, Andrew Snaith, hopefully a comeback of sorts for Whitby, who are suddenly right back in the dogfight. And David James, from a Rush All perspective, making the trip to Whitby with Rush All to see the consistently inconsistent Rush All take on Whitby Town. Be nice to catch up with the Goose, Andrew Snaith. And as for the game, I foresee a close affair and wind. Well, I don't know what kind of wind he's expecting, but the mushy peas are fantastic. Can I just say that on record? Right, moving on. So Whitby against Rushall. Whitby, up until Monday, were in a good run of form, barring the Grantham result as well, we should mention. But they were getting the wins, and what do you reckon? Yeah. Are they going to take it to heart, do you think?
I think they are on a good, you know, I'd say it's a bit of a blip on, and hey, listen, massive respect to Hyde for that result, because they've been going through a real tough patch, you know, and I thought it was a massive result for them, a really, really big win. But Whitby at home, tough side to beat. They've got Roberts and Waters up front, quality centre-forward partnership. Rushall Olympic, though, they beat Buxton on Tuesday night, 2-1, Alex Reid getting a couple. Could be a draw. I think Whitby needs the points more. I can't see Rushall getting into the playoffs, but hey, what do I know?
James Hayes said something outlandish before. I think he got a bit muddled up because he basically said, look out for Skem. They're gonna put a run on. What he meant to say is they're gonna put a run on to get to mid table. That's what he meant. But it's form guide wise, Skelmersdale United are on a hell of a run of form at the moment, and they're hosting Grantham Town. I think Grantham, they're kind of in a halfway house at the minute. They'd love to be where Skem are, 5 points ahead of them. And they would like to get themselves away from that relegation zone, which they're 6 points clear of at the moment.
Yeah. 16th Skelmersdale, 18th Grantham. You know what? Sometimes you go on, you've got to look at the previous games and the confidence, and you've just talked about Skelmersdale there. Okay, it was Ramsbottom, they went and got the 3-0 result there, but they're like Christopher Orman's gone and bagged a hat-trick. Confidence is going to be super high for Skelmersdale. I think they'll win that game. They're on 39 points. I know they're moving away from the relegation battle, but with that run of form, I think they'll. I tell you what, it won't be easy. Grantham will fight for every blade of grass will cover on that game. But again, I would go for Skelmersdale win, just given the form they're in at the moment.
Now next week we've got the MPL show at the Magnet, and on last month's MPL show, everyone pretty much said Stamford done, no chance. And, well, what can you say? They're only a couple of points now from safety. And this weekend, I think they'd like that a repeat of that 3-0 against Ilkeston. Again, they're hosting Matlock Town.
You know what? You make some great points there. I think Stamford have got a great, great chance there. I mean, you know, Matlock, as you say, they drew with Nantwich in the week, and they were down to 10 men. So that was a good result for them. They're on 44 points. And what I'd say about that is they're safe. I see them as being pretty safe now. But Stamford really needs the 3 points. And sometimes when you need that and you're in desperate need for it, you put the performance in. And as you say, Stamford have been playing well recently. So I'm going to stick my neck out and go for a Stamford victory.
And the crucial thing is about Stamford, they've been here before. They were here last season, and they managed it. Last kick of the game, I think, as well. So they do handle the pressure well, I'm going to suggest, of relegation battles. And I think we've only got one fixture left, unless I'm completely mistaken. No, we've got a couple left. We've also got Marine against Sutton Coldfield, and Marine are in that same boat as Stamford. They want wins and need wins.
Yeah, they do. They are 21st in the league, 28 points. But, you know, you get a result and you move away, don't you? You pull away. You lost 2-0 to Salford on Tuesday night. But I think from looked at the highlights of that game, and they played okay. Two well-taken goals by Salford. But at the end of the day, I would give Marine a good chance there. Sutton Coldfield Town, again, you'd say they're safe, the 13th. They got beat by Stalbridge in the local West Midlands derby. I'm going to stick my neck on the line and say Marine can do that.
And lastly, but not leastly, for Saturday, it's this, I don't like to use this phrase, but it's a mid-table wonderland for the eyes. It's Buxton against Hales Owen. Rob Lloyd's been in touch to say, off to Buxton on Saturday for the Yelts. We stopped the losing streak last week with a draw, ironically, to Buxton. Both keepers had to have a good game last week, making good saves in a game that could have been a higher scoring draw than 1-1. As ever, we'll take a point away from home. 3 would be great. But this match, I think both clubs are really seeing out the season now. No disrespect to them, but what do you think?
Yeah. I agree. I've not put many notes against this one.
There you go.
yeah, but what I would say is, and I think, you know, the Yelts fan there made a good point. They're looking to get a point from that fixture. The only thing I would say is Buxton, they've won 9 at home, so they're strong at home. So you'd have to favour them. A difficult one to call. Where the hell's on 15, 40 points? I think they're fairly safe as well. I think Buxton will win that one, 1-0.
And in case you're all wondering at home, where's the Joycey correspondence of the week? At time of recording, it's not come in yet, but I'm pretty sure there will be some correspondence in from Mr. Joyce this week. But Johnny Crowther from Redshift Radio, thanks for joining us this week for that fixture preview for this weekend. But really, the only show in town is Nantwich against Dover this weekend. And how could people listen in from afar?
Yeah, absolutely. As you'd expect, we're covering the game. There's all sorts of stations covering the game on Saturday. the media pass list, I don't know, it's been extending wildly for the weekend. But if you want to listen to it like you've done all season, redshiftradio.co.uk. We've got a link into MixLR, which we do the games on, and ntfc.com. You can listen to it on there. We're expecting to get some good listener numbers. It's going to be a cracking game. Try and get yourself down to the game if you're in the area, because we're expecting a big crowd. And, you know, not as you said before, there's not many times that Eagle Stick Northern Premier League teams get through to the quarterfinals of the FA Trophy, and it's going to be an absolute belter.
Well, Johnny Crowther from Redshift Radio, on behalf of all the listeners, we wish you well for your broadcast this weekend, and we hope you win.
Cheers, Ben. Take care, mate. Thanks for your time.
And now for your correspondence, and let's start things off in Division 1 North. And Nick Harling has been in touch to say four straight wins with 19 goals scored for Clitheroe, but our next four matches are against much tougher opposition. Will Trafford be the ones to stop the Blues juggernaut? Possibly, but I wouldn't bet on it. A high-scoring draw could well be in the offing. We've had loads of correspondence in about Witten against Spennymoor. Derek Buckley, tough test for Witten at Spennymoor. We are playing well at the moment and we'll need to if we are to get anything there. I'd be delighted with a point. Liam Curry, another home game this week, now against Witten Albion, hoping to extend our good run to five consecutive victories. And Andy McNeish, hopefully taking the winning run to five for Spennymoor. Seeing us win for the first time since November was great last time out. I don't go to the majority of games, but at least five at home since Blyth in the Cup and an away game. So, was a nice change. Lloyd Berry, from a Warrington perspective, it's a home game against Kendal. Nothing more than 3 points. Simple, he says. Ryan James Bedard, Warrington versus Kendal. 3 points needed for the Wire after Tuesday's disappointing performance. And Phil Harrison, from a Northwich perspective, off the back of an accomplished Cheshire Cup win, Northwich need to ensure no slip-ups at home to Harrogate this weekend. Maintain the pressure on Warrington. Fingers crossed the game goes ahead, otherwise we're facing a potential punishing run-in. Oh no. To Division 1 South, Leslie Troke, a tough one for Colville at Leek. Kids Grove away at Lincoln, says Paul Griffiths. Early morning visit to the Cathedral, lunch at the Magna Carta, then 3 points at the Sun Villas Stadium for the Grove. Playoff dream is just alive. Have a lovely day out in Lincoln. It's a lovely place, Paul. And it's now time for Joyce's Correspondence of the Week. After the battling point at Hales Owen last Saturday, was back to normal on Tuesday night against Rushall, another home defeat. Just what I'm expecting on Saturday versus the Yelts again, and another ball change through the game as it was on Saturday. Was that a ball reference? He made a ball reference! I love a good ball reference. Hales Owen... Hales Owen bench need to go on a course to show them how to check a football's pressure. Not the show they put on last Saturday. Comedy gold rant over, up the books. Doing a ground knockoff on Saturday, Tividale versus Stocksbridge. Stocksbridge was very poor Tuesday night versus Goole. Teams who are now playing Goole to the end of the season need to watch out. Was impressed by Moz's enthusiasm on the bench, and you could see it rub off on the players. And Moxham will net a few till the end of the season. That's all, folks, for your Southern Review. More to follow. I look forward to it, Mark, and thank you for your correspondence. Back to the Northern Premier League Premier Division now, and George Rothwell's been in touch to say Ashton versus Hyde, local derby, which will definitely be a cracking game. Hopefully we can show some confidence after a much needed win on Monday. Anything can happen. Come on, Hyde. Ryan Wilson, away to Stourbridge for us Darlow, hoping for a win to keep us in distance with Blyth. Tony Keggan, Marine against Sutton Coldfield, something of a new fixture this one. I'll say a 1-0 home win. David Knight, Barwell against Frickley. The winners will be the pie eaters. No, David, the burger eaters. It's burgers at Barwell. Frickley does pies. Cricket ground next to a football ground. Home from home. Former miners' welfare, I bet. Well, I'm not too sure about that, but if you're a Barwell fan, get in touch with David about that one. Stuart Logan, hopefully Blyth to win, get back to winning ways and stay ahead of the chasing pack. And Richard Clark, game of the day at Stourbridge with Darlow in town. We're well set for a playoff place after 5 wins on the bounce in the league. Would be good to keep the momentum ongoing, and best wishes to Nantwich too. Hear, hear. And Peter Bibbings concludes this week's Wall of Correspondence with, away at Marine for the Royals, we need something out of this fixture in order to gain some momentum for the tricky home match against Blyth next week. And that concludes this week's Wall of Correspondence. Tune in next week. Actually, we're not here next week. It's the NPL show. Tune in whenever you like for another wall filled with your beautiful correspondence. Back over to you, Ben. Well, that's it for this week's Evo Stick Extra. We hope you've enjoyed this week's edition. Next week, there'll be a brand new Evo Stick NPL show, pre-recorded live at the Magnet. So join us next Friday for all the fun and games and a little review of what's happened in February. There'll also be an Evo Stick NPL Division 1 show out later next week as well. Remember, you can follow the show on Twitter. That's at NPL Show. And you can get involved with all the discussions and chatter on the old internet thing. That's at facebook.com/groups/the NPL. But that's it from me for this week's show. A big thank you to all my guests for joining me, and a big thank you to you, dear listener, for joining me as well. I've been Ben Hughes, and wherever you're going this weekend to cheer on your Evo Stick NPL side, make sure that you have fun. Goodbye.
With over 500 high-performance products in the Evo Stick range, you may need a bigger van. Evo Stick, the strongest adhesives you can buy.